So welcome to Confessions of Serial Seller. My guest today, he's the Confidence Architect. He's an award-winning motivational speaker. He's the president of Daniel Gomez Enterprises and his best-selling book, You Were Born to Fly. Daniel Gomez, thank you so much for joining me today.
Good morning, Tony, man. Thank you for having me. I'm honored. It's like, I love your energy. I love your smile. And I love to collaborate with people that kind of have the same values, and I see that you bring that same excitement to the to life and to the business world. So thank you for having me. I'm honored, my friend.
My pleasure, my absolute pleasure. So Dan, tell us about your journey of how you got into the world of sales and what led you to co-found and create, you know, Daniel Gomez Enterprises.
Well, it started when I was about 19 years old, and I took a job at a horticultural company. We did interior landscaping. And interior landscaping is these big old palm trees inside these malls, inside these hotels that you go and stay at, like at the Hilton, the Marriott. And you have these big old palm trees. Well, who takes care of them? Who waters them?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
When I applied to this job at the time, there was newspapers. I went and applied, and they kind of tell us. I didn't get the job the first time I applied. I saw the job again because I was straight out of high school.
Yeah.
Well, to make a long story short, I worked my way up in that company. I was there almost a decade. Well, after 4 years of being there, I became a sales manager there, a service manager. Well, we would go to these big houses in the Dominion, like where David Robinson lived, George Strait lives there. So all the multimillionaires of San Antonio live there.
Yeah.
And these things have like 20-foot, some have 30-foot ceilings. So I noticed I had gone to one of the houses, left, and then I went to this other house, and I said, you know, that wall looks kind of bare because it's a 25-foot wall. I said, so-and-so just bought this plan, and it looks amazing. Really? Yeah. And as soon as I said that, she goes, well, send me what plant was it, right? Because unfortunately, in the Dominion, everybody wants to keep up with each other, put that way, because they're all multimillionaires.
Yeah.
And so it was awesome. So I got back to the office. I told the owner, I said, hey, this lady wants to do this. She goes, man, well, write up the order and I'll give you credit for it since you're the one that brought in the lead. Well, Tony, I was working in the plant industry at that time probably for about a year, but I had no idea what these plants cost.
Yeah.
So actually a lot of these containers, ceramic ones, come from Europe, from London.
Yeah.
Also. So to make a long story short, a palm tree of 30 feet tall, you're talking about 3 feet ceramic gainy container. That's about a $10,000 plant, just to give you an idea.
Wow.
So I sent this over in my mind. I was thinking like, she's not going to sign this, right? Because my scarcity mindset, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
She signed it like within, at the time it was fax machines. I faxed it over. She signed it, faxed it right back within like 5 minutes. So the next week, my boss goes, hey, well, where's that? I thought, you didn't sell that plan? I go, yeah. He goes, well, why don't you turn in your slip? I was like, what slip?
He goes,
yeah, you didn't turn in that commission slip. I said, I get paid? He goes, yeah, you get 5%. Well, that was $500. And little did I know that. So in my mind, I'm thinking like, I'm working all week making $500. And if I sell this one thing, I make $500.
Yeah.
It was a no-brainer. Everywhere I went after that, Tony, I was making recommendations. So
love that.
So that was the introduction of my selling career. I didn't realize it there, but a lot of times we try to sell too hard.
Yeah.
And a lot of times you just have to make recommendations.
Yes.
And when you make recommendations, it's like, it's not your idea, it's their idea. And
if
they like the idea, they're like, you know what, that might work pretty good. And it's just building that trust. And one thing that I really learned in my young sales career when I was a lot younger, almost, man, this was probably about 26 years ago, is selling is a transfer of trust. When people trust you, people trust you, they'll spend all the money with you. But if they don't trust you, they're not going to spend one nickel with you, Tony.
And
that's something that I use when I do my corporate trainings on my sales mastery classes. Without anything, selling is a transfer of trust. That's where it starts off, right there.
I really love that. I've never heard it explained in that way, the transfer of trust. So my question to you for my audience is, in your experience, what's the best, most effective way to build up that trust?
The biggest mistake that a lot of us make, and I'm guilty of this, sometimes, you know, we get ahead of ourselves, is we talk about ourselves.
Yes.
And what I mean by that is, and it's human nature. I meet Tony Morris. Hey, good morning, Tony. How you doing? Oh, I'm doing great. How you doing, Daniel? And so you reciprocate the same question back to me.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden we start talking about ourselves over and over and over.
Yeah.
And I had to really practice that, because if you notice when we started speaking, you asked me and I said, okay, I got to catch myself. How are you doing, Tony?
Yeah.
I kind of reciprocated that.
Yeah.
And I think the power of reciprocation and just in the introduction is where most people lose it.
Yeah.
Because especially if you're that driver personality, that high D,
yeah.
Who do you love to talk about? The high Ds love to talk about themselves.
Absolutely.
So yourself, because it's not about talking about you, it's about talking about the client.
Dan, I'm so sorry, we froze there for 1 minute, so I'll edit that out. I got to where you said high D's love to talk about themselves. Will you just carry on from there?
Yeah, high D's love to talk about themselves, and what you need to do is you need to catch yourself, because it's not about you, it's about the client, and you really got to just put the conversation back on them. Because when you talk about them, and just to think of that other client's a high D also, well, who does he love to talk about? Himself.
Yeah.
And sometimes I go into these organizations and I don't even say a word, Tony. I just kind of let them talk and they say, man, Daniel, this was the best conversation ever. I love you. And they talk for like, no joke, probably like 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
But they love to talk about themselves. And one thing that I see that a lot of young sales professionals make is they don't probe the customer along.
Yeah.
And what I mean by probing them along, it's like if you're sitting in their office and you see that they got a picture of their son, that you see they got a picture of just a car, maybe they're a car collector. Oh, wow, that's a nice car. Oh, and they keep talking.
Yeah.
And you're just kind of looking at the office.
Yeah.
And you just kind of keep on throwing those little jabs there about, you know, to talk about themselves. And next thing you know, you don't say nothing and they love you, because most people just want to be heard.
Amazing. No, I love that. Great advice. And I know, Dan, we were speaking before we went live on the show that, you know, you've had a what I would consider a tough childhood, but a tough time. You know, you lost both your parents at a young age. You were 10. I think you said when you lost your mother, 26, we lost your dad. And obviously your wife, unfortunately, was very poorly. My question to you, the reason I raised that is you seem so motivated, you know, since you've been through some really tough things. So how do you personally stay so motivated? And what suggestions have you got for maybe some of my sales listeners who struggle in that domain?
I would say this. It all starts with my faith. If you look at my shirt, it says DG is for Daniel Gomez Inspires, of course, my brand. But it's the faith is actually, the shield is actually a shield of faith.
Mm.
And you have to have faith in something higher than yourself. Mm. And for me, that faith is in God. And when you have faith in God, he gives you the ability to have faith in yourself.
Mm.
And when you have faith in yourself, then you have faith in the work that you do.
Mm.
And that's where it starts at. And most people, when you don't have that level of faith in yourself, right? Just that belief that there's something bigger.
Yeah.
We take it personal. And when something negative comes our way, we get upset, we get mad.
Mm.
And I learned when my mom passed away, when I was 10 years old, I didn't really understand it. I missed her. I know I would cry sometimes when I was a young kid, because you wanted your mom around. But
of course,
I think just when everything happened, I just really said, what is it that, why is this coming my way? I didn't really understand why I was asking that. But I think because I always try to see the best in everything.
Yeah.
I just really said, you know, my dad got diagnosed with cancer. And I left my job to take care of them. And it was a beautiful time. So I think when adversity like that comes in, there's always something good to see. And when you learn to see the good, everything changes. Because even right now, we're in this lockdown. We're in Corona season still. And people react. And the thing is, when you react, you make foolish decisions.
Yes.
You make dumb decisions, to just be honest. And a good example of that is yesterday, the stock market plunged here in America almost like I don't know, like 2,000 points. And one of the guys at the gym yesterday was like, oh, man, did you see the stock market? I'm like, what are you talking about? And he got me roused up. Yeah, I already sold my stocks. I lost 4,000, but I don't care.
Yeah.
So I'm like, he got me thinking. So I came to my computer and I'm like, oh, man, my stuff's down like $3,000. So, of course, then it went up. And then last night, but the old Daniel would have probably sold his stocks to. And you just got to understand that life comes in you in seasons.
Yeah.
There's seasons of ups.
Yeah.
And there's seasons of downs.
Yeah.
And in those seasons of downs, you got to ask yourself, what am I supposed to learn in this season of down?
Mm.
And I say that because just the way right now the economy was crazy. Mm. We've been in lockdown since March 6th. Pretty much the whole world, we're opening up.
Yeah.
But if I wouldn't have had that time to myself, I would have never started my podcast.
Yeah.
I would have never done, I would have never grown as a person. I've studied like crazy a lot. And it's a good thing. So going back to your original question is, when my mom and dad have passed away, I really asked myself, okay, well, I can't change it.
Yeah.
And I think too many people get mad and they get upset because they know they can't change it and they take it personal.
Yeah.
And look, what's done is done.
Yeah.
Ask yourself this question, what can I learn from that?
I love that. I think that's such a wonderful attitude and a courageous attitude. But you're absolutely right. There's definitely ways to look at things, right? And as you said, you can't change what's happened. What can you gain from it? I mean, that's really powerful. I want to ask you, what in your career of sales, you know, which one sale really stands out to you, sort of head and shoulders above the rest, that either you're most proud of, and I'd like to know the reasons why, or maybe one that you've learned the most from? What would that be, do you think?
I think just in my own business. Mm. I think it comes because I was very successful in running multi-million dollar organizations. And I say that because I was making well over six figures for many years. And I think when you start your business, and I started my organization going on 3 years ago, you're making a third of what you're making, if that.
Yeah.
And you really got to go out there and it's you. It's like, right, that's what you want. You want, you're promoting your brand, you're promoting your business.
Yeah.
And there was a point in that I really had to check myself, because you have you to be successful as an entrepreneur, as any business owner, you got to die to your old self.
Yeah.
And I was in the restroom, Tony, one day crying. My eyes were watery from frustration. And I was going to give up that day. I was 99.9% sure I was going to be like, why am I struggling? I could go back to what I used to do.
Yeah.
Make a lot of money and I don't got to put up with all this hardship.
Yeah.
And to me, it was hardship because I was still developing and I'm still developing. But I came up with the quote and people loved it, that you're not a true entrepreneur until you're 99.9% sure that you're going to give up and quit and cried in the restroom.
Yeah,
that's when you become a real entrepreneur.
I love that. And how did you turn it around from that?
You know, I walked out of that restroom, happened to run into an old employee, and he goes, man, keep doing what you're doing. You're doing great. And I didn't really believe him because, like I said, I was down. I was frustrated in the bathroom.
Yeah.
He goes, Daniel, look at me, man. He goes, you're doing fantastic. Keep it going.
Lovely.
And I went to my car and I was like debating if I should go home or what should I do. And then my son just happened to call me, my son Julian. He's my little king. And he's like, I was talking to him and I caught myself like I was lying to him, because he was like, what's going on, Dad? I'm like, oh, everything's good. I'm having a great day. But really, I was having a crappy day.
Yeah.
And I just felt like I had to be honest with my son. Like so many of times we try to be flaky, right? We try to put up this front.
Yeah.
And you get in the habit of putting up fronts. And I just told my son like what had happened. So that day, Tony, he motivated me. He goes, set up straight, Dad. I'm like, Julian, I don't want to set up straight. Yeah. Set up straight in your car, Dad.
Yeah.
So he was coaching me. He goes, come on, Dad, look in the mirror. Tell yourself I'm a winner. I'm a champion. Because for their whole life, that's how I woke them up. I woke them up saying I'm a winner. I'm a champion. They're conditioned that way.
Yeah.
And I just started crying, Tony, and man, it just like my son just really got me to not give up on myself. And even though I didn't sell anything that day, I didn't get any new opportunities.
Yeah.
I didn't go home. I went to another organization and I just introduced myself. And I think the fact that I just did that.
Yeah.
So to answer your question, the best thing that I sold was the belief in myself.
Amazing. Amazing. And how wonderful that your son helped you was like a catalyst for you, because there is nothing more special than the love we have for our children, right?
Yeah.
That's beautiful. I love that. I know you wrote the book, You Were Born to Fly. Tell me a little bit more about that, sort of the premise of the book.
Yeah. So You Were Born to Fly. It's an international bestseller. I love it. And when I wrote it, it was just a book to really just express what I had gone through.
Yeah.
My emotions, my feelings, because I had a lot of junk. But I wrote it. The content that I got out of myself was, it's all about self-leadership.
Yeah.
And self-leadership starts with confidence, right? Mm. Chapter one is confidence.
Yeah.
Because I don't know about you, but I don't know anybody that has won in life, in business, in sports without confidence.
Yeah.
And I say that with 100% certainty, because think of Tiger Woods. When he lost his confidence,
yeah,
he stopped winning.
Yeah.
When you think of a baseball player that's been stricken out 10 times,
yeah,
he stopped getting those home runs. And nobody wins in business without confidence, because once you lose your confidence, you lose that edge, you lose that risk-taking ability that you had, and it's all about taking risk.
Yeah. Right?
So think about think about when the quarterback throws that 50-yard bomb. It's like, hey, it's a lower percentage, but if you don't throw it, you might not win the game. And life's about taking risk and getting out of your own comfort zone, and it takes confidence, it takes self-leadership.
Yes.
To do that. Yeah. So it's an amazing book. I when you write a book, you really don't, you ask yourself, is anybody going to read it?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, no, look, it's, as you said, best-selling book. So hats off to you. And you spoke there about confidence. What, a lot of salespeople struggle with this. You know, when I'm coaching them, and I'm sure, Dan, you must experience this yourself, that they're scared of picking up the phone, making that cold call. They're scared of, how many times do they chase, because they don't want to be seen as a pest. What's the best advice you've got for that, of how they can overcome that fear and get into that confident state?
Well, I would say this. The reason that, because I coach on this also and I see it all the time.
Yep.
It's that people just have a low self-worth. If you have a low self-worth, you're not going to take the actions, because as I train all over the country, whether it's in automotive, real estate, insurance, any type of sales organization, the people that don't, because put it this way, you can have all the sales skills you want, Tony, but if you don't have the belief in your own abilities, you're not going to do what you need to do. And I know many people that know their product, they know that they have the sales skills, but they don't have that self-worth in themselves to believe in themselves. And that's a huge factor. So when you have a low self-worth, you're not going to make those phone calls. You're not going to have that. So the whole thing is to really change the way you see yourself, that inner dialogue within who you are. And so I have three affirmations that I really push on people is, I am enough. Cause most people, when you have a low self-worth, you don't think you're enough.
Yeah.
So I tell them to say, I am enough. I am good enough. I am worthy. And this is one, right? This is the third one's crucial, because most people don't believe they deserve to win in life. And I don't mean a selfish deserve, but I really just deserve to succeed.
Yes.
So I tell them to say those three things, right? I am enough. I am worthy. I deserve to win.
Amazing.
And when you start changing that thought process, and I'm crazy. I'm like, hey, write this stuff on your mirror. What do you mean?
Yeah.
Go home. Write it on your bathroom mirror, and people think I'm joking. And when I every month I change out my affirmations on my mirror. Some of them I keep, some of them I erase all together. And but people don't realize that when you go to the restroom, you brush your teeth, you're seeing it.
Yeah.
And what we miss, Tony, is that your life is gonna follow the dominant pictures in your head.
Yes. Yes.
And that's where most people mess up. We're visionary beings.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying something. What I mean by that is we learn through vision. We learn through what we see. And think about this. Why do you think the cigarette companies, the beer companies, they put this out there? Because they know that if they put a celebrity in there, that they're going to have that mental picture. And I want to be like LeBron James. I want to be like like this all-star. Does that make sense?
Totally.
And I think, you know, this one actor that I'm talking about, Sylvester Stallone, I read an article where they paid Sylvester Stallone like a lot. This was back almost a couple of decades ago, but paid him when he came out in the movie Cobra. At the time, they paid him a ridiculous amount of money. I think it was like $500,000. And at the time, it was like those endorsements weren't around.
Yeah.
Well, they calculated that for every second that somebody saw him with a pack of marbles in his hand, that the sales went up like 10%, or I don't know what the percentage was, but it was crazy.
Yeah.
So they invested $500,000, but they got back.
Yeah. Amazing. Your wife must kill you that you're graffitiing all over the house. She must kill me. So what are you doing writing on the walls?
Actually, it's beautiful now because now she's joining the growth process with me. So I love the fact that now now that we've been working from home the last 3 months, she hears me and she's like, man, I didn't realize you do all that work. And I'm like, she goes, I see the result, but I never saw it.
Yeah.
But now she hears what I talk to my clients about. And now she's like, well, remember you told your client this? I kind of see that in you. And I'm like, really?
I love that she's involved in the journey. And I know, I know you're very into self-development. You know, I know you listen on a daily basis to podcasts. Obviously you've got your own, but you read books, audio books. What's some of the best advice that you've ever learned or you've ever been given along your sales career?
You have to see yourself like a surgeon. And what I mean by that is a surgeon, to become a surgeon, he invests, first of all, in his schooling. Mm. He invests in getting the knowledge. And then a surgeon takes great pride in having excellence in what he does.
Mm.
And if you look at those doctors that really succeed, that have that name out there, they take it seriously. And I think too many of us, we don't see ourselves like that surgeon. We do things half-assed. We give half-fourth effort, and they don't have that focus. They don't have that excellence. They serve that their circle is a circle of mediocrity instead of a circle of excellence.
I love
so. So that's the best advice that I got actually from the owner of a dealership that I worked for. Right off, as soon as I got there, and he would always say that in the sales meeting. The owner would come and say, "You got to see yourself like a surgeon," and it's true. So how do you reciprocate that? How do you live that out? And for me, when we would walk out of the dealership and I was new, he would pick up the trash.
Yeah.
He was a multimillionaire, but he would pick it up. He goes, look, just because our business is in the lower income of San Antonio doesn't mean that we got to look like the part.
Yeah.
And he would literally pick up McDonald's or just junk that people wouldn't touch. And I would see that. So as I was growing up as a sales professional, I would do that. Then it was already instilled in me. And to this day, it drives my kids crazy because we'll get off to go eat or my wife. And if there's something on the floor, I'll pick it up. It's instilled in me. And not only that, it just shows that, you know, you care about the world. And I think that's one of the reasons that I've been so successful in no matter what I do, because it's like, it's just a piece of paper. Wash your hands. It's like, don't be so, we over... How can I say, what's the word I want to look for? Like we overreact that, I don't want to get dirty. It's like, no, just pick up the damn paper, go to the restroom and wash your hands. Think of it as what if it was your business? And that's the way I always see it is.
Yes.
What if it was my dealership? What if it was my real estate company? What if it was my architect firm? I mean, I want it to look presentable.
Yeah.
And that is what being a surgeon is about, right? That's what having that circle of excellence around you and raising your standards.
Fantastic. I really, really like that. You spoke earlier about, you know, your best sale, which is when you realized you were enough, you deserved to win, you were good enough. Let me ask you on the flip side, what's the sale that got away, the loss, you know, what one that comes to mind that you didn't win? And maybe what were your takeaways from that?
That's a great question. I would say this. I would say it's not just one opportunity, but what comes to mind is a series of opportunities.
Mm.
And sometimes you can be too aggressive. Mm. And like I said, that driver in me comes out, and people can sense, and we don't realize that when sometimes the harder we push, like we get into that desperate state. And now I understand the psychology about it, but we get into that desperate state. And when you get in that desperate state, people feel it. We now that I know that we give off vibrations, we give off frequency, we're this energy ball.
Yeah.
I call it an energy ball.
Yeah.
So if you're giving off that energy of frustration, you're giving off that energy of desperation, people don't want to deal with people that are desperate.
Yeah.
And when I learned to have fun and everything just changed, and like during this time, my business has skyrocketed these past 5 months, and I don't worry about it. I don't, you know, there's days, you want to close a customer, but it doesn't happen, or you want to help somebody, it doesn't happen. But I would just say that is that you really got to learn. I'll never forget this quote from Og Mandino. It's probably it comes to mind that now that we're talking about it, it's instilled in me already. It's like, Og Mandino, one of his scrolls, I don't know if you ever read his book, The World's Greatest Salesman, but in one of his scrolls, he talks about the great salesmen learn how to control their emotions and their feelings.
Mm.
And that's one of the first things I read when I was like 26 years old in the sales industry. That. So I have a quote that says, strong is he or she who controls his emotions. Weak is he or she who allows their emotions to control them.
I love that. That's really powerful. I really love that. Yeah, that's fantastic. And really good advice, actually. What my last question to you, I know obviously you're an author and you clearly read a lot and are constantly looking to learn and develop. What would you say is your one sales mantra, if you had one?
My sales mantra? You're going to laugh at me, but it goes back to, it was instilled in me when I was younger. It's just sells a sizzle. Sell the sizzle of whatever you sell. You got to sell the sizzle. Too many of us, and what I mean by that is, first of all, you got to sell the sizzle within yourself. Because before the client buys any product, any service, Tony, they're buying you.
Yeah.
And we forget that. We forget that. So the question that I would have your audience right now is, what experience, what first impression are you giving to those people, those prospects, those future clients that you want to engage with?
Yeah.
What's their first impression of you? What's that first experience of you? And you got to come with enthusiasm. You got to come with that energy. You got to come with a smile.
Yeah.
Because this is the biggest key. And I want your audience to write this down. And you got to understand this. And I think this helps. This is a foundation of everything. A smile opens up your client's wallet.
Yeah.
A smile opens up your client's checkbook.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You're so right. They do. The passion, the enthusiasm, that energy, as you said, we're a ball of energy. And that does create opportunities, and that does win business.
Yeah,
I couldn't agree with you more. But last question: what's the three best sales books or personal development books you've ever read? You mentioned just one a minute ago. The world's best salesman, I think you said.
Yeah, The World's Greatest Salesman by Og Mandino. I would definitely buy that. I wrote down his scrolls, and now they're implanted in my subconscious mind. But
yeah,
I would read that. Those scrolls like every day for probably like about 2 or 3 years, and little did I know they're still in my mind. And
brilliant.
So I would say The World's Greatest Salesman by Og Mandino. And then another book that I would definitely read that really helped me out was it was a simple quick read, Who Moved My Cheese?
I loved it.
That's a great one, because so many times we want every month to be the same, and every month is not gonna be the same in sales.
Sometimes
you're going to have a bigger month on the phone. Sometimes you're going to have a bigger month prospecting. Sometimes you're going to have a bigger month from referrals. But the most thing is, if you're consistent in every area of just attracting and getting new business, then one's going to be up, one's going to be down. So that pipeline's always full. So I would say that really taught me just, we'll move my cheese. Like, man, there's no customers coming in. We'll go get some.
Absolutely. It was so clever. So simple, but so clever.
Yeah, so that one actually, that's one of the most powerful ones. And then also, I just wrote my second book too. It's called Sticker Shock.
The day
you realize you're worth millions.
Love
and
that.
So I would highly recommend that to your audience. It's a great book about sales, and the principles in it are great for any type of sales professional in there, because like I mentioned before,
Yeah.
Sticker shock is the day you realize you're worth millions, the day you realize you have all the hidden potential that your best product and service offers.
Yes.
The day you realize that for yourself is a day that you don't have fear anymore, and you make those phone calls, you prospect, you let everybody know. Because this is a funny thing, Tony, is most account executive and sales professionals, they think they work for the freaking CIA and they don't.
Yeah, it's so true.
It's like they're ashamed of it. They're ashamed of being in sales. And when in reality, the most highly paid professionals out there are actually sales professionals.
Totally. Totally. It really is something to be proud of. And I don't know why people are embarrassed to say it. I couldn't agree. But that's why the world needs more people like you and me, Dan, to spread the word and, you know, and make it a profession to be proud of, because it really is. Dan, where can my audience buy your books, find out more about you and read and see some more of your content?
Yeah, well, actually, both books are on Amazon. So if you go to Daniel Gomez, you'll find You Were Born to Fly there, and you'll find Sticker Shock, The Day You Realize You're Worth Millions. So they're both on Amazon. They're also on Books a Million. And then also, my brand is Daniel Gomez Inspires. So you can follow me on Facebook, Instagram. My YouTube page is Daniel Gomez Inspires. I put out new content out there pretty much every week. Amazing. And then if you want to email me directly, my website is actually www.danielgomezspeaker.com. That's www.danielgomezspeaker.com. And I can be emailed at daniel@danielgomezspeaker.com. And I also have a free gift for your people.
Thank you.
During this time, I believe that, you know, we need to give back. And so I have a free training that I used to sell, but I want to give it out. It's called 7 Steps to Fly Daily. And when it's 7 steps that I take every day to get myself going. And if they go to danielgomezinspires.com/7 steps, STEPS, that's danielgomezinspires.com/7 steps, then they'll get the free training there, and they'll go straight to their email.
Amazing. Thank you so much for that generous offer. I really appreciate that. Daniel, it's been an absolute pleasure and an honor to have you on the show. Thoroughly enjoyed it. And keep up the amazing work, my friend.
Hey, Tony, it's been an honor. Thank you so much for having me, and I was privileged. Thank you so much, sir.
No, thank you. Keep safe.